the recommendation before us, which brings us to item six on the agenda, which is to consider and take possible action to retain Makita Investment Group for investment consultant services as recommended by the investment committee. Would this be an appropriate time to bring in Makita? Our folks from Makita? Oh, they're here. They're in the room. What's wrong with me? I didn't see them slip in at the back. Good morning, David Collin. Welcome.
Don't worry, we just walked in, so I don't know if the deck is up or how you'd like us to proceed with that. We'll start off by saying, look, we know change is difficult, particularly when it comes to a consulting relationship. Both Colin and I have been doing this for easily 20 years. I'm 25 years in the industry. Colin is 15 to 20 years in the industry. We've been with Makita and PCA for a very long time, 2004 as a shareholder. For the record and for all of you, my name's David Sansewich. I'm a managing principal. We do both work out of our Portland, Oregon office. There's the deck right there. Just to kind of flip through the bios real quick, I do work with a couple of other California county plans with Merced and San Joaquin County. So this, if we're lucky enough to work with you all, this would be my third county relationship. We also work with some of the bigger state plans across the country. So we have a lot of perspective that we can provide Tim and to you as a board. As a group, also sit on a couple of our asset allocation and risk committees. And with that, I'll turn it over to Colin to introduce himself as well.
Thank you, yes. Colin Beebe, also a managing principal, and as David mentioned, we both work together out of the Portland, Oregon office. I also lead our pension practice group, so that's really designed to make sure best ideas, best practices are flowing through our entire consulting team, then obviously all the way end to the clients. For the last 15 years, I've basically been exclusively focused on large-scale public funds. So my smallest client is about $2.8 billion. That's the East Bay Municipal Utility District, not that far from here. And then other very large-scale public plans from, about your size to over $200 billion from East Coast to West Coast. I really have no regional, dedication, and which makes it nice for here. This would be one of my shortest flights along with East Bay. So that is something very, very valuable that I do look forward to. But in addition to that, Dave and I have worked together for the last 15 years. We know each other in and out. We know who does what, who's best at a given topic, and it's been a great team working with Dave, and we'd love to bring that team here to Contra Costa.
Yeah, we've prepared a presentation today, and I have to give kudos to your staff and to the board trustees that attended both our Boston on-site and the Portland on-site, and to your staff for all of the questions. This has been a very thorough process. I don't mean to take that lightly or candidly. We know that this is a relationship. We know that we need to provide you with best-in-class advice. We want Contra Costa to be best-in-class. That is our goal. Our goal here every single time we come in front of you is to make things easy on you as trustees and to make this portfolio best-in-class. We have a number of clients, including San Joaquin, that are in the functional framework, so we know how your portfolio is set up. We have been following you since our early PCA days back in 14, 15, and candidly, I've been to every SACR since 2004 and have been following some of you at the SACRs as we bounce around to some of those sessions as well. So it's a real treat to be here. I'll start off by saying thank you to all of you for your service. So very quickly, we've been told to keep this to about 20 minutes. I know a number of you know who Makita is, but some of you may not, so we'll just hit the highlights. Please feel free to ask us any questions along the way. But we've been in business for 47 years. Our first client back in 1978 is still a client today. We have 259 clients and roughly 255 employees. So it's roughly a one-to-one relationship between client and employees. We have $9.8 billion in assets under advisement and we see the $2.4 trillion. Most of that is non-discretionary general consulting. We do work with CalPERS and CalSTRS. So if you take those two out, that course dials that number back just a bit. It's important to know that 100% of our revenue comes from our clients. We do not take any revenue from managers. We do not take any revenue from brokers. We do not take any revenue from anybody other than the clients that we work for on a daily basis. You see Colin and I up here. One thing I want to assure this board is that this is in no way a bait and switch. And what I mean by that is oftentimes we see firms come up and say, look, here's two guys that'll present to you. And then we get the relationship started and some junior person comes in and takes over and is your person to talk with. That's not going to happen in this case. Colin and I view ourselves as the quarterback and the coach of this relationship. You guys are obviously the owners and the ones responsible for the team, but you're backed by an entire group of folks at Makita, as you see on this page. So we have 255 employees. The way I view it is we are an extension of your staff. So when you hire Makita, you're going to hire also 255 employees that are all dedicated to help Contra Costa move forward. We are 100% shareholder, 100% employee-owned firm. Both Colin and I, as I mentioned, are shareholders. You can see our mixture of shareholders over on the left-hand side. And we also show you our yearly client retention ratio. As I mentioned, our first client in 78 is still a client today. And we've maintained a 97% to 99% retention ratio with all of our clients year over year, as you can see on the right-hand side of this chart. And I'll turn it over to Colin to talk about page six.
So anytime you're going to potentially make a change, you want to know that the firm you're talking to today is going to be a similar firm in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. So this really outlines our sort of vision for, you know, how we're positioning ourselves in the marketplace and to provide advice to clients. So as Dave mentioned, we're 100% employee owned. There's no plans to change that for any mergers or acquisitions or to be bought. That is what we're committed to. There's opportunities for new shareholders to come on every single year, opportunities for existing shareholders to grow their equity base. So that's a key consideration of our firm and a powerful attribute that Dave and I really appreciate about Makita. On the right says singular focus. Our foundation is providing institutional investment consulting advice. That's how we built the business. That is still the core of our business. It's going to remain the core of our business. So in order to continue to do that, we have to be best in class on that. So every effort we make internally is to make sure we're bringing the best in class advice we can and guidance we can to the clients we work with across the US and across the globe. The bottom two sort of squares there in the green and pink there sort of get to, you know, towards the future. What are we looking at? The capital markets, there's always new product offerings. There's always, you know, new ideas, new approaches. So we do have dedicated researchers who help us vet that. We don't just buy into new fads. We thoroughly vet them, but we want to make sure anything we're bringing to clients is actually going to be additive. So we're always looking at new things. Doesn't mean we're always bringing brand new things to every client. So it's sort of make sure you do your due diligence, look at everything, but enhance the portfolio, enhance our client portfolios over time, making sure we're bringing innovative solutions to the clients in the most expedited fashion, but the most prudent fashion. And on the bottom right, evolving services. What clients ask of us today is drastically different than even just 5 years ago. We have to continue to bring new services, new tools for staff to tap into to make sure, once again, we're bringing that best-in-class advice and servicing we possibly can. So we're constantly evolving. We have dedicated researchers and developers who are bringing new tools online for our clients to access, improves transparency, improves relevance, and improves the ability to act in a timely fashion. Following page just highlights some of the key attributes we think we sort of bring to the table. And if I'm looking at this deck, this is one of the most important pages from my standpoint. So we've already hit on that top line there, growing independent firm. The second one I think is really important. So we have a very strong understanding of your allocation model, the functional framework. Over half my clients have a functional framework, and that's not because we inherited those clients. We built those frameworks with them going back about 10 years. So we've seen sort of the first iteration. And I'd say where you stand and where others stand is, what might version 2.0 look like? What can we maybe just modify at the margins that will actually have an impactful change to the portfolio? So it's been a learning curve for everyone who's involved with the functional framework. I assume that was the case here as well. It takes a few years to really get just even those, the verbiage, the nomenclature down. And then from there, it's really about managing and overseeing the portfolio with such a framework. So we see a lot of that. That's something that we sort of, you know, can step right into and know exactly where you're coming from with that framework. The third one, significant public fund experience. We work with over 2.1 trillion in public fund clients across the US. That's not because we're trying to make everyone look the same. What that really brings to the table is that perspective of seeing how people have approached challenges, what has worked, what hasn't worked. And so for us, it's really that perspective of learning what others are doing, what's worked, what hasn't worked, and making sure we can bring those best ideas to Contra Costa. I think the fourth one is another very important one. Everything you'll hear from us, we want to level set from the get-go. What's going to be the action item out of this? What are we trying to achieve from this discussion we're having today? we want to focus and have most of our discussions around items that are very actionable. We can talk about, you know, tangent topics from time to time, but we'll always say, okay, no matter where this discussion goes, what we think is going to be the action out of the end. What is this going to change or not change? So that we know as a board, as Makita, as staff, what we're really trying to get out of any conversation and trying to drive every conversation we have towards one that's going to actually be impactful, actually move the needle, is not just wasting IC or board time at the end of the day. And the last one, just deep resources and forward thinking. We've already hit on that. We're constantly trying to improve. The Makita you see today is going to be a little different in 5 years. The core is going to be there, and hopefully our advice and servicing offering is even better at that point in time. The following page sort of puts this in a picture. I would be lying if I told you Dave and I could service a $12 billion plan by ourselves. That is impossible. So these are the faces you should expect to see at each and every meeting. But behind us, there's about 250 people behind the scenes across all elements of institutional investment consulting and management that help us actually provide that service. And in a lot of cases, we'll be bringing experts from various groups to help us convey the message, the topic, the best that we can. So if we just sort of go through this from left to right, we have a dedicated team on the capital markets research. So that's an activity we discuss every single year with you. What are the capital markets telling us right now? What are expected returns looking like? What are the challenges we see or the biggest risks we see? So that's a critical team for Dave and I to leverage. I actually spend a lot of time on that team. I spend less time on that team now. That's a key resource for Dave and I to tap into. Obviously, manager research is important. You set the asset allocation, and that has to be implemented. So we have over 20 people in public markets manager research helping us and helping staff dive through managers, conduct due diligence, source those that we're putting forth the best managers possible for the Contra Costa portfolio. Private markets research, that's a massively growing area of the industry. So it's a key item for Dave and I to tap into to learn, okay, what are we thinking on this front? Real estate infrastructure, real estate debt, private equity, whatever it may be, to make sure, once again, Dave and I are up to speed on everything and can convey that to you in an effective and transparent manner. Policy and governance is probably one of the areas I'm spending the most of my time with on clients right now, as they are trying to just examine, do we have the best policy in place? Is our governance structure, top tier right now? Should we be making changes? What are others doing? So just having decades of experience conducting those, refining those over time is a key area for us to potentially bring to Contra Costa. Asset liability modeling is where I like to spend the most time on. That is where you really get to see how your effective balance sheet can flow through the future. What might good times look like? What might bad times look like? How can we structure the portfolio to narrow those range of expectations right along that path that we would like to pursue? So we probably spend more time than others on that topic. We have a dedicated actuary in-house. We work directly with your actuary as we're building that out. And that's a very iterative process. We're in the early days of that, and Dave will touch on this later, is we really want to know what your concerns are, what your viewpoints are, where your risk tolerance is at, because we really need those in order to potentially build a portfolio alongside staff that's going to put Contra Costa in the best position forward to make sure benefits continue to accrue to beneficiaries under the hood. And then finally, performance reporting. One of the key roles of fiduciary is oversight and monitoring. We need that reporting. That might always not be that exciting to look at, but one thing we like to do is redesign those a little bit to make sure we're giving you the most pertinent and relevant information up front in those, rather than having to flip 30 pages back through some economic overview topics and a bunch of manager statistics. If I'm a trustee, what really matters to me? Let's get that up front and have all those details in there as well. So that's a key piece. Make sure the data is accurate, and most importantly, it is relevant for your roles and relevant for that key element of oversight and monitoring as a fiduciary.
Yeah, look, as we transition through the deck, I'll add that it's very easy for consultants to get stuck in that gray box, right? You come to a board meeting on a monthly basis or every 6 weeks. What do you want to do? You want to look at the flash report. You want to look at the quarterly performance report. And lastly, let's see at how my SACRS peers are doing. That's all great, but that's past looking and it's not impactful. We really want to look at things that are going to move your plan forward. And so the way we approach a relationship, and if you remember from the IC presentation, I brought this slide in and it looks way more complicated than it needs to be. You as board trustees should be looking at those two blue circles, right? It's great to pick managers. You want to pick managers that win and beat their benchmark and succeed, but that's not what's going to move the needle for the Contra Costa County portfolio. What's going to move the needle is figuring out what your asset allocation is, filling out what your policy decisions should be and figuring out how that portfolio should be structured. And yes, I've gotten this question by other trustees. Is there enough time in the day? Is there enough to talk about from an asset allocation structure standpoint to still have a board meeting? Absolutely there is. We can talk about asset structure, portfolio structuring, asset class reviews, how these all fit together. There is a lot of things that are moving, and they're moving targets. As Colin said, the markets 5 years ago are not what the markets are going to be 5 years from today. We snuck in the last 30 seconds a few of the comments. One of the comments that came up was AI. AI is not going away. AI has become more and more impactful, both on, from an investment standpoint and from what consultants do on a daily basis. You need to know where that's going to be, where it may be helpful, and candidly, where it's not. Asset liability modeling and asset liability discussions are an art and a science, which means that it's great to let computers do some of the work, but computers are not Contra Costa County. Computers are not personal. We need to have that divide in the middle, and that's where us as consultants come in. So what we'd like to get you to do, if we're lucky enough to work with you all, is refocus on those two blue circles. That's really how your functional framework is set up. What part of my portfolio is going to earn me a return? What part is going to make diversify me when returns seeking growth class is not working? And where do I get my cash from to pay my benefits on a going forward basis? Oftentimes, folks spend too much time on those two green bars, which don't move the needle as much as the two blue bars. What we did put in here, and I'll just fast forward a little bit here, is great, Makita, you're coming in here, you're potentially replacing consultant we've had for a very long time. Kind of what do you plan to do with us, and how do you plan to work with Contra Costa as a group, as an organization? Ultimately, how is this going to benefit us and the beneficiaries? Well, what we did is put together an initial work plan, and you can see the various segments we'd like to do. But one of the areas I want to highlight is on this page. If you look at the bottom of the investment portfolio review and asset allocation, there's a line that's called risk evaluation of board and staff survey. One of the things we like to do with all of our clients, not just new potential new relationships, but with our ongoing clients, is when a board trustees turn over or staff turns over, is we come in and do, it's literally a 3-minute online survey about where the board sits from a risk philosophy. Oftentimes the board thinks that they are on the same page, and sometimes they are. They all agree on where the portfolio is headed, but oftentimes we do these surveys and we pull the results from the staff, we pull the results from the board, we put them all together and we show you these results and say, look, some of you are thinking this way and some of you are thinking this way. What does that mean? How is it impactful? And how do we move this forward? And how does we move forward as an organization? One of the other comments I will make is nothing that we do at Makita is in a black box. We believe in transparency. If you want to see where a number came from, how it was calculated, how it was put out there, we will absolutely show it to you. Those of you that came to Portland and came to our Boston headquarters for that on-site know that we have a lot of online tools for your staff. We have online tools for you as trustees. If you want to log online and sit by your bedside one night and figure out an asset allocation on the Contra Costa portfolio, you are absolutely allowed to do that. You can log in, you can read manager notes until you're blue in the face, and you can see every white paper that Makita puts out as well. That's access that we give to everybody. But a big part of that is going to be Colin and I, and probably a third team member, coming in and talking to each and every single one of you during this risk process and understanding where you are as an organization. But we do want to spend just a minute or two on the Contra Costa portfolio, some things we put together on thoughts and considerations as we've reviewed it, and I'll turn it over to Colin to walk you through some of these slides. Yep.
So for those of you who've met me over the handful of meetings we've had since this process began, you've heard me use the line probably, your success is determined dollars, not returns. We like to look at everything as a full system or association, because that's really how benefits accrue and how benefits are paid. So this just outlines sort of four key metrics that I look at when I'm looking at any given public plan, and this just compares you to a universe of peers between $5 billion and $20 billion. So the first two are sort of a little bit of health metrics. Okay, what's our funded status at? So actually pretty favorable, you know, right around 90% right now, whether that's the market value or the actuarial value. And your net cash flow about negative 1%. So better than average, better than better than your peers. So that means you're in a pretty good starting spot. On the flip side of that, you have some demographics working against you. Your actives to beneficiaries on the lower side of that, and your assets to payroll, in this chart, up is worse for that one, is on the closer to the unfavorable side. So that means big asset declines can have potential big impacts on that cash flow and on potential changes to contribution rates. So we want to know that whole picture. That's part of the picture for how we design asset allocation. The other part comes directly from what Dave just touched on, and that's that risk evaluation or that risk survey that we conduct with trustees to know where you come from, what's your tolerance, and what's your views on certain implementation approaches. So this just begins to lay the framework, the groundwork for sort of where you stand right now and what are some important considerations we should be discussing whenever we do walk through an asset liability study, even though you did just finish one not that long ago. The following page just outlines just basic statistics. I think everyone on this board knows most of these. You know how you're allocated. You know some basic financial metrics. These are from your 23 report with that updated with the 24 actual valuation. Your actual your funded ratio based on the actual value of assets stayed the same. And for the market value of assets, it bumped up to 89.4. Your June 30 report shows you're now at about $12.2 billion. So nothing drastic on this page, but I do want to once again sort of hammer home, we really like functional frameworks. We're very used to them. We speak this language. We're ready to sort of step in and know exactly how this was built, where it comes from, and how it can potentially be modified going forward. Page 16 just compares you to your simple target index and public plans greater than a billion. What's their sort of average allocation look like? So I've remapped those peers to your categories. I've also remapped your simple target index, although that's effectively already remapped, and sort of just to see where you stand. So you're, from our capital market assumptions, you're expected to hit just exactly at a 7% expected return with 11.9% volatility. That's better than both the simple target index from a return and risk standpoint, and then better from compared to your peers from an efficiency standpoint. So it is a more efficient portfolio. One comment we would have is that we're firm believers in a simple target index or what others might call a reference portfolio as a useful tool for you saying, we have a very complex portfolio, a very nuanced portfolio. Are we getting more by doing that than something very basic that you could get for 5 basis points pretty much? So the one slight tweak we like to see is that you as a board or IC chose to take on a certain level of risk. That simple target index or reference benchmark we think should pretty much match that risk. That's one of the biggest drivers of what ends up happening is how much risk you take. So we might, you know, bring up some education discussion on should that target index be modified a little bit? Because right now it's just basically mapping towards each of those categories. And if you did them in a very simplistic manner, that's one way of looking at it. It'd just be a discussion. Is this other approach more of an opportunity cost approach where it's really matched to your overall risk level? Is that maybe a better approach for a simple target index or a reference benchmark that others may discuss? Page 17 is sort of what are your thoughts, considerations on our portfolio? The theme of this entire discussion, of this entire our viewpoint on your portfolio is this notion of evolve and refine. We've been following you for 10 years. Dave mentioned he sees some of you as SACRs. We were part of the process over 10 years ago. During that RFP process, we didn't win. There's a reason why Dave and I are back, is this is one that we would like to work with, obviously. But there's no major red flags. We think you're sort of in that nice position where let's think about some evolution and refine what we have in place. It's worked. It's I'd say, matched expectations, not a little bit outperformed expectations. But there's always some modest room for improvement. So some of those considerations are on the bottom hand of this page. And I think a key thing is some of these might seem like they're small ideas, but a lot of small ideas really compound to an actual meaningful impact on the portfolio. So the first one of which is potentially revisit the total allocation to liquidity. I know the history of sort of where that came from with Contra Costa. Right now you're getting basically a 6% yield, and if your discount rate's 6.75, that's a pretty close gap there. So you're getting close to that with a chunk of your portfolio without taking on any risk. But one thing Dave and I are big proponents of is game planning. The only asset I can tell you in the entire world what's likely to give you over the next year is something of cash or short duration bonds. Everything else is going to be fairly random. So I want us to have a discussion on sort of game planning. Okay, what happens if rates do really change, if they really are, you know, beginning to drop? Should we be revisiting that? Also, do you even need that much? I don't have the answer to that yet, and I don't know you as a board yet and where you stand on that topic and your risk tolerance. That's one thing that we want to sort of game plan and get ahead of. It's not to necessarily make a decision or to make a decision in a sort of reactive way. It's to be proactive and have these discussions before we want to maybe potentially move something so we know we're well-educated, we're well-informed on this topic. What might be some options for that? that'd be one area for us to explore. I know you review how to sort of replenish the liquidity portfolio on an annual basis. That's probably a very appropriate time frame to conduct that on, but that's something we'd be looking at to potentially, you know, say this is perfectly fine right now, or modify it a little bit. The second one is review and potentially modify the risk diversifying class. So if I look at your historical returns compared to others who had that class, others did a lot better in 2022. They had other pieces in there that really carried the weight of the portfolio in that piece. So as I mentioned earlier, a lot of clients are going through transition to version 2.0 of their functional framework. A lot of that centers around their diversifying program and what might be some enhancements there. When that was put in place in a lot of clients' portfolios about 10 years ago, it was never going to be set and forget it. This is the silver bullet. It's going to solve all the problems. We knew we were going to find, we were going to learn over years where this does well and where our gaps were. We're sort of at that point where there could be some modest enhancements to improving that. You brought on a trend following manager, I believe in April of 24. It's been one of the worst years for trend following in the last year. That's just the honest assessment. That does not mean it's bad. I fully understand why it's played out like that. Pretty much everyone who's had trend following, it's played out like that for the last year. But that still serves a very valuable role in the portfolio. So we think that was an enhancement despite that being a challenging allocation for the last year. If you look at 2022, there are clients who paid every dollar of benefits out of their basically their trend program within the diversifying class. So it's a key piece for a portfolio when you're going through those prolonged drawdowns, both in equity markets and bond markets. And that's exactly what 2022 showed everyone is correlations for bonds and equities are not always uncorrelated or negative. They can flip. And so having some other pieces in there, whether that's for the onset of a drawdown or a more prolonged one like 2022, the tech bubble, and parts of 08 and 09 as well. Other pieces are just some other topics to potentially explore. You have a meaningful allocation to private markets. Is there any way to come up with some ideas for lowering costs? We know that's one of the biggest challenges there. They are expensive. So we can explore some mechanisms for that. Once again, preparing, game planning before you're sort of forced to make a decision. I mentioned earlier one of your key fiduciary roles is oversight and monitoring. So I haven't discussed this with you yet, but do you feel you have all the mechanisms at your disposal to execute those roles? Perhaps you do, perhaps you don't. We have other examples of what other clients, what other boards like to see. So those are some other reports we can potentially bring in. You've heard this, whether at the onset of the AIC meeting, I think the CIO report you get is top notch. I love report cards. That's exactly what it shows. That's a very valuable tool that a lot are missing. So if you didn't have that, that'd be the first thing I'd be recommending. You have that. But there are some other mechanisms that we can look at to make sure that you feel comfortable in your role of that oversight and monitoring as a fiduciary. And finally, the last one is really just ongoing. Things change, your policies change, your portfolio changes. We want to make sure at all points in time, they're congruent with one another. What you say in your investment philosophy section of the IPS matches up with everywhere else in the policy, matches up with the portfolio, matches up with what we talk about in reporting, what we're discussing, and how the operations flow through behind the scenes. So that's sort of an ongoing task, but really it's those top two, in my opinion, would be one of the first areas we'd be looking at. Once again, we can't do anything until we get to meet you, we know where you stand, and we know where your pain points are and your viewpoints on various topics are.
Yeah, and I'll just wrap up here. Look, accessibility and transparency are key, which means that a lot of clients have different dynamics on how they want to deal with their consultants. We have some clients that are, you absolutely cannot speak to the board. We have some clients that have at it. You can speak to the board. We know the Brown Act is three trustees, but we want to make ourselves available to each and every single one of you at any time. I almost say 24 hours a day, but Colin and I do need a couple of hours of sleep in the wee hours of the morning, but we're happy to give you our cell phones, happy to give you emails. And guess what? We're both down here in the Oakland, Northern California area all the time. And we're going to plan on coming in to see your staff. We do view ourselves as partners in this relationship. And to be a partner, you've got to be open to have those discussions. And some of them are going to be easy. Yes, we agree with what staff and Makita are putting forward. And some of them are going to be difficult. Some of them are going to be, why is staff Makita thinking this way? This is not the way I view this portfolio. Please explain it to me. We believe in simplicity over complexity, and we really want to partner with you. And ultimately, and it's important, it's in small font at the bottom of this page, but ultimately, everybody in this entire room is responsible to the beneficiaries. We need to make sure that those benefits are being paid out on a monthly, weekly basis to each and every one of those members that promise was made to. We know who we work for. We work for the beneficiaries. We work for the board. You are our decision makers. You are the decision makers for this plan. We want to help staff, Tim, all your investment staff, all your administrative staff. We want to make you better. We want to push you to that next level, and we hopefully get the chance to do that. And Mr. Chair, I'll see if there's any questions, but that concludes our comments.
All right, thank you, David. Are there questions for David or Colin on the presentation? Very thorough, by the way, thank you. And you know, the timing was just a guideline. I should have said, take the time that you need. But no, I appreciate your moving through the presentation with pace. We all have had it in our packet. I know that every board member has read it because this is a very studious board. So I appreciate the thoughtfulness, but I do want to allow, if there are questions from board members, certainly this is the time. Yeah, so I'll tell you what, we'll go left to right, John. So we'll start with Jerry and we'll come around the horn.
I guess one of the questions I have is the transition. It's going to be a very interesting process. I think there's always a balance in a situation like this. There will be individuals that will say a year from now, they didn't do anything different, or they changed everything. And there may be a temptation on someone's part, your part, I suspect, to possibly come in and say, we got to make some changes here, otherwise they're going to regret the decision they made. So how would you, over the course of a year, define success for you?
I guess I'll challenge you a little bit by saying absolutely not our goal to come in here and change everything. If you took anything away from our comments, we actually think your portfolio is in a good place. We think there are some tweaks that can be made around the edges, absolutely. We think that liquidity portfolio should be reviewed and evaluated, absolutely. We're not going to take a shotgun approach where it's like, hey, we're the new consultant. Let's just come in here and blow everything up and piss everybody off and cost a lot of money and time and have the portfolio be worse off. But it's also our job to come in here and educate and be transparent on things we think that you should change and move forward with. And we need to simplify the portfolio. It's to help you as decision makers. And it doesn't mean changing it, but it means also understanding it. And also coming in and talking, as we said, doing an interview with each and every one of you. If you have the time and you're willing to talk with us as a trustee, as a consultant, we want to talk to you for 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes if you have the time available so we can understand these nuances and develop a better relationship with everybody on this board.
So I appreciate the response, I really do. But again, just that specific question, how would you define success in a year from your standpoint?
I think one way to define it is we did what we said we were going to do. So that's from the portfolio, reviewing it, making some modest changes. And on the flip side, the relationship element, we get to know you, you get to know us, you hear honest, transparent. Dave and I are very blunt, as Dave just sort of displayed there on how we approach trustees. So in a year, you'll say, it feels like it's a different room. There's a different voice, and they've been making some modest changes to the portfolio. Yeah, by no stretch of the imagination do we want to, quote unquote, blow this up or change it drastically. At the end of the day, we think it's pretty good, and it's good for the beneficiaries. Let's make those modest enhancements. And that any change that does occur, you understand where we came from. We had conversations with you, you know, in the IC room, in the boardroom, offline. That relationship element, I think, is pretty powerful. You might get annoyed with us and how much we like to talk, whether in the boardroom or offline. And our main goal is to make those modest enhancements and build a relationship with you over a year. If we can do both of those in a year, it's a success from our standpoint.
Thank you.
John, I think you had your hand up next.
My comment is somewhat facetious, but given the level of client interaction that you have in the greater East Bay area, are you giving any thought to opening an office down here?
Well, candidly, we have not. We have an office in Carlsbad, which is just north of San Diego, south of LA. We've got the office in Portland. It's only an hour and 5 minute flight, mm-hmm. but that may be something that if we end up spending a lot of time down here, Colin and I rent an apartment on our house down here. It's probably the interim solution, but we can certainly think about that. And
we have had various employees over the years be based here. So right now we just have one individual in San Francisco who's a private credit specialist, but it's been up to about three individuals working remotely out of the Bay Area over the years.
Thank you.
Any other questions on this side? I'm not hearing any questions. I would say blunt was a rough assessment. I would say you're candid and frank, to use the diplomatic core language, right? But and that certainly came across in our meeting in Portland, I mean that sincerely, the discussions were candid and frank. And I think, at least from my perspective, that's exactly the kind of conversation you want to be able to have.
I appreciate that. Look, if the sky's blue, we're going to call it blue. We're not going to go out and talk about the clouds and the gray forecast coming in and everything in between, but we want to get to the point. We want to be as clear as possible with what we're talking about. So thank you.
All right. Tim, any thoughts?
No, I think, obviously, this is the culmination of a long process, at least on the general consultant side. We still have the private markets to do. But you know, this is something where we've been focused on firms that we think have the technical capabilities where you know, we can collaborate with them. I think that's an important element. It's not the driving element. The driving element is what firm is best positioned on a prospective basis to give this board the information they're going to need to make decisions in the markets to come. So it's not a backward-looking exercise. It's how do we position ourselves best for the next decade. I think a decade ago when we did the consultant search, I said these should be infrequent and somewhat far between. They have been infrequent and somewhat far between. We didn't wait 30 years this time. But these are big changes. You know, you have a trusted voice. It's important that you have a trusted voice from the consultant to the board and having that dialogue there. It's important that staff is able to reach out to them and vet things on a somewhat close to a real-time basis. So I think we're comfortable with this approach. We're supportive of this moving forward.
All right, thank you. Well, that, if there are no further questions or comments from board members, what is the pleasure of the board? Chair McDonald, are you moving the recommendation?
Well, if no one else will, I'll definitely move to approve. Yeah.
All right, we have a motion. Is there a second? All right, it's been moved and seconded to retain Makita Investment Group for investment consultant services as recommended by the investment committee. Any further discussion or questions? I don't want to leave anything unasked or unsaid. Hearing or seeing none, let's vote. On the motion, Anderson.
Aye.
Chabotarev.
Aye.
Gordon.
Aye.
Holcomb.
Aye.
Kroll.
Aye.
McDonald.
Aye.
Mirzwa.
Aye.
Phillips.
Aye.
And Wong.
Aye.
Excellent. 9-0. That motion carries. Congratulations. Thank you. Looking forward to the relationship.